Hallelujah. Just lift your hand a little bit. Bless God. Give him praise. Appreciate him. I'm blessed already. If we share the grace and went home, I'm good. So just thank him. Thank him for such treasure of a lovely atmosphere of his presence, of his praise, of his joy. You are the reason I live. You're the one for me. You're the one for me. You are the reason I live. You're the one for me. You're the one for me.
Say you are, you are,
you are.
What you mean to me.
So take a moment and tell him in your own words what he means to you. Just a reminder from God to you. Lord, we give you praise. Lord, we give you praise. We thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your awesome love.
I don't deserve it. mountain won't climb up, coming out to me.
No warrior won't
kick
down.
No warrior won't kick down. Lion won't tear down, coming out to me.
No shadow you won't light up.
Mountain you won't climb up, coming out to me.
No wall you won't
kick down. Lie you won't tear down, coming out to me.
No shadow you won't light up.
Mountain you won't climb up, coming out to me.
of it, the depth of it. If you thought I didn't have a message, you have another thing coming. I'm struggling with how many weeks I'll have to preach what I have on my mind. So it's not about not having something, but it's about following the drift of the Holy Ghost. And I feel that these are all just messages to people this morning. These are specific messages to people this morning. It's getting across to people. And he's saying, this is what I'm saying. This is how much I love you. This is how far I'll go for you. I've already gone for you. And he's tearing down all condemnation. He's tearing down all feelings of rejection. All feelings of inadequacy, all fears of the future. He's tearing them all down and saying, I am here for you, and I'm more than enough. I'm more than enough. I'm all that you need. Every time the fear looks you in the face, remind it. And say, I know and I'm confident in the love that God has for me. I have faith in the love that God has for me. He's not going to watch me sink. Like Peter, I may be sinking because of my lack of faith. I may be sinking because of my fears, but he won't let me drown. He's going to grab me. He's going to pull me up again. I'll still walk on the water again. I'm still coming back on top. I may have fallen. But he's reassuring you. Somebody's struggling with the fear of sin. What you did is not the unpardonable sin. And so God has forgiven you. God has forgiven you. So reassure yourself of his love this morning. That's what he's saying to you. Reassure yourself of his love this morning. And therefore of his forgiveness. It's not manageable. It's not managing you. No, it's not managing you now. He loves you like he always did. He loves you like he did when he looked ahead and saw you in the future, and Jesus came to die. That's how he loves you. Even now, after that sin. The first time you prayed and you said, God, I'm sorry he hurt you. And he forgave you. All of the condemnation you've had is not of him. Godly conviction, 1 Corinthians 7 tells us, leads to repentance. But the ungodly one leads to condemnation. So once you had repented and said, God, I'm sorry, I won't do it again. That was it, gone. And his love restored. His love was never gone. He was just waiting for you to come back to where you were with him. With open arms, he was waiting. And he says, welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. And I just feel like I give a call right away now. Never given your life to Christ, whether you're watching online, whether you're here physically, you've never given your life to Christ before. This is the moment when God is assuring us of his love. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 that God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ came and died for us. While we were yet sinners. So God has shown his own heart, his own hand. He has shown his own side. And he has said, I love you. What does it then require of you? Is that you respond. Draw near unto God and he will draw near unto you. What he needs is your response. You receive. The Bible says, he that receives the Son, he that calls upon his name will be saved. So that is the receiving. You call upon him and say, I receive him. I receive him. I accept that love. And you'll be saved. And it works the same way if you have been saved. But you're backsliding. And backsliding is simple. The backslider knows in his heart he's backsliding. He knows that I've gone away from God. And you need to be restored back to God have the peace of God, like Romans chapter 5 talks about, that when we are saved, we are brought into peace with God. Now you have that peace restored in your heart, that joy of salvation also restored in your heart. That's what happens. You've lost it, but you can get it back. And if you're out there this morning and you're saying, yes, I want to pray that prayer for the first time, or I want to do it again, I'm rededicating my life, God has reassured. It's the strongest message of the Bible. It's the message of God's love. That is actually the message of the Bible. That is love. That He loves us. For God so loves the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So if you're out there this morning, you're responding to that, put your right hand on your chest right where you are. And let us pray very quickly. Put your right hand on your chest right where you are. You are praying it for the first time, or you are rededicating your life. And do it boldly. Do it boldly. Thank you for that hand. Anybody else doing that, do it boldly. Salvation is free. To be ashamed to not take advantage of it. If it was expensive, then we would understand. If it's free, it's a shame if anybody were to go to hell. It would be a shame if anybody were not to have peace with God. It would be a shame, because it's free and it's been made available. So don't let a friend stop you. Don't let the fear of what would they think, your peer pressure, ego, whatever. Don't let anything stop you. Only one person died for you, and that's the only person that matters, the Lord Jesus Christ. So with your hand on your chest, just say with me, Lord Jesus, I come to you this morning. I receive you. I receive your sacrifice for me. I receive you as my Savior and as my Lord. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. And this morning I thank you for that which you have done, dying on the cross for my sins, that I might be restored and have peace with God. I receive it by faith, and I make a commitment of dedicating my own life to you in return. That not only will you be my Savior, but you'll be my Lord. Amen. Father, thank you for everyone who prayed that. Thank you because you drew them to yourself. And thank you because this morning, from today, they are saved from right now. Thank you because not only are they saved, but they stay saved because you keep them. You have them in your palms, in the palms of your hands, and you preserve them and present them in the last day, whole, spirit, soul, and body, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good. Now open your Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. How many people are blessed already? Should we share the grace?
Yes, sir.
We should share the grace. Hey, amen. I had no clue, actually, what I was... all of that, I had no clue. I was going in any of that direction. But I was struggling with how much I wanted to say. That was my real struggle this morning. And don't worry, by 2 we'll be done. So all those who are yawning, you have many more hours to yawn. Hallelujah. But basically, I want to start addressing something that I've now finally titled Overcoming Vices. I've struggled also with titles and all that for it. I got the anointing of Pastor NY to struggle with title. So I struggle with the title. I've thought of many things. Just not too long ago, the word vices popped up again in my head, and I realized that when I was a child, I actually saw a book. I'm not sure of exactly what it was titled, whether the Book of Vices or something like that. How many people ever saw such a book? Vices. How many people know what vices are? Okay, vices are defined as immoral or evil habits and practices. Okay, immoral and or evil habits and practices. So I've been thinking about, you know, those one of the comments I made earlier in the Bible school, which is that the Bible is a manual for life. Okay? Christianity is not a religion. It's not a religion. Religion is man looking for God. Christianity is about a relationship. It's about you and God being in a relationship, being in a friendship, being in a partnership, being in a father-son relationship, being in a master-servant, in quote, relationship. It's about relationships. Okay, that's what Christianity really is. It's about us being able to relate with the God of all the earth. And because he's the creator of all things, just like most creators, when he created everything, he ultimately presented a manual. Okay, so you buy your phone, it comes with a manual. Maybe sometimes now it doesn't come with a manual. The manual is available electronically, you know, and that makes it worse, isn't it? Yeah, because the one you put inside the thing, people didn't read. Now you just sold them the device and you didn't put manual inside. You expect them to go and, you know, Google, or you put one tiny piece of paper and you put, what do you call that thing? This code. And you scan the code for manual. It won't happen, you know. So they haven't read the one that came. Then you ask him to scan and look. You know, I went to a restaurant and it was the first time I saw a restaurant with the code. And I sat there and I said, bring your menu. And the waiter said, that's it on the table. So I looked at the code. I said, this one. He said, yes, I can't see Amala. I can't see, you understand? He just, so he said, you use your phone. In all honesty, I was honest. I didn't know how to do it. So I said, how? Don't you have, you had the, bring the printed one. I don't know. Okay, what if I don't have a phone? I mean, will I not eat? So the guy said, no, sir, use your phone. I said, how? Guess what? He didn't know how. He didn't know how himself. So they just sent him a message that this is the new thing. He didn't know how to do it. I said, how do I use my phone to do the thing? Even he couldn't show me. I said, you see your problem now. So, but now I think we're all getting familiar with those things. But the problem is that most people don't read manuals. Okay? In today's day and age, like I said, God created that's where the Bible starts from. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God. Can I hear you say, in the beginning, God? So the very first thing that existed before anything existed, I don't want to go too much into the theological division of the Bible, whether Genesis 1 is actually the beginning of the world. Okay? But let's leave it there. That one is A-level theology. Let's leave it there. Okay? But Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The word created means to make something out of nothing. Okay? Hebrews 11 confirms that to us. We know that the things that are seen were created by the things that are not seen, even as by the word of God. That's Hebrews 11:3. Okay? So, exactly what Genesis 1:1 tells us. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God made things out of nothing. And every time I start the Bible at the beginning of the year, because I read the Bible through and I start from Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 and January 1 of every year, and I say to God, help me to start to read again like I've never read it before. And each time I read, I'm still seeing things and I'm amazed at the depth of the Bible. Okay? So, and every time I read it and I see Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And remind myself that it means he made something out of nothing. Then I remind myself that there's nothing that I'm faced with that he cannot create from the same word. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If he created everything by his words, Hebrews 11:3, then there's nothing in my world that he cannot create with his word. There's nothing that I am dealing with now, that I need now, that I'm faced with now, that cannot be created, shaped, or formed by the same word that started everything that we see. Hallelujah. So basically, he gave us a manual. Not talking faith this morning. He gave us a manual, but everything is faith anyway. So he gave us a manual. And just like we treat the device manual, we unfortunately treat the word of God the same way. Okay? We treat the word of God the same way. We also tend not to read the manual. And because we don't read the manual, we abuse. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We abuse the devices that God has given to us, which is the world around us. We abuse the people around us. We abuse everything, the places, the work he has given to us, the education he's given us. We abuse things that God has put in our hands, the devices, in quote, that God has put in our lives, tend to be abused because we have not read the manual. The same way that we abuse the devices that we buy because we do not read the manual. The word abuse just means what? Abnormal use. It means that we use the things abnormally. We do not use them the way they are meant to be used. Okay? Are you still here? Don't worry, we won't go at two. Okay, so that you can cheer up. Are you still with me? Okay. So we abuse the things that we have. We underutilize the things that we have. I was recently, you know, with my friend, Brad Tokes, and we were talking. He was around Lagos when his hotel room. We were just talking. And he began to share with me how he, you know, rarely uses his laptop. I found that very interesting because I can hardly go without a laptop. You know, and he told me that most times he doesn't use it for anything. He carries it, he can go for months without using it. You know, that. And he said it's shocking what he can do on his phone. Most people will be shocked at it. And he told me how he can do this, he can attach multiple files, he can. And I'm thinking to myself, hey. In all honesty, I left thinking to myself, I need to learn more about the phone I carry around. Because, you know, when you are a bit mobile, you need to do a lot of things, and your ability to function is affected by how you can use mobile devices. You know, and I thought to myself, if I could do many of those things the same way, with the same efficiency, I'll be more efficient. Are you hearing me? But for me to do it, I'll have to dedicate myself to learning those things. So I refer to a conversation I was having with a couple last night. We talked about, you know, church crisis, church issues, and I made a statement to them. I said, you know, some of those things that happen because people just completely ignore clear biblical instructions and principles. And I'm not talking about, okay, I refer to something now and I said that one is A-level theology, Abby. I'm not talking about that kind of thing. I'm talking about things that are clearly written. Don't do this. Don't do this. Watch out for this. Beware of this. I said clearly written stuff and people just ignore them or don't even read those things at all. I said that's why that kind of thing happens. Are you there? So if we read the manual, remember I'm talking about overcoming vices, but today, don't worry, I just introduced, so we'll be able to go, and then I'm sure there are many things we'll talk about. So vices are evil and immoral habits or practices. So Romans chapter 12, that's what I asked you to open, and I've not forgotten, and if you haven't found it, forget it. Romans chapter 12, it means you will not be able to find, Hebrews chapter 12 rather, did I say Romans? Hebrews 12, I'm sorry. Okay, so now you have 5 seconds. Draw your sword. Abby? Children's sword. Draw your sword. Draw your sword. Eh? They are not listening. Draw your sword. Oh, yeah. Hebrews chapter 12. They say, oh. Are you still here, anybody? Okay, Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse 1. And the adults are wondering, draw your sword. Draw your sword. It's a children's club game that we play. Eh? Yes, that we play. You know, I'm a child of God. So we children, it's a game we play. And draw your sword just means you carry the whole old-time Bible, not electronic. Old-time Bible. So we'll call a passage for you, and we see the fastest person to open it. This is called the Sword of God. Abi, the sword is that Ephesians chapter 6? Word of God, which is the word of God, the sword. So we say, draw your sword. So we say, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. We see the fastest person to draw the sword and open Hebrews 6, verse 1. Okay, so adults, I brought you up to speed. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12. He said, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily snares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. I read verse 2 for completeness. My emphasis is actually on verse 1. It says, in this race we should do what? Lay aside every weight. Can I hear you say, lay aside every weight? And the sin which so easily ensnares us. So, and what he's saying is that if we're going to run in this race, okay, we're running a race. Hebrews chapter 11 actually was about the heroes of faith. So in Hebrews chapter 11, he described people who had run this race of life ahead of us and this race of faith ahead of us. So Hebrews chapter 11 is often referred to as the chapter for heroes of faith, okay? Biblical heroes of faith. And then having shown us all of these examples of people who ran this race of faith, he then gets to Hebrews chapter 12 and he says, it's your turn. Are you there? And then he says, in your turn, let us, he says, seeing that we have all of its witnesses, meaning that all these guys have proven that this way of life, of walking with God works. Okay? Walking with God works. Walking with God pays. Walking with God promotes. Working with God brings honor. Working with God, it will bring you dignity in life. Working with God brings success. All of it are proven. Those things, he said, now it's your turn to prove it too. And these guys are witnesses. Don't you dare tell us that it doesn't work. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't you dare tell us it doesn't work. So somebody still also spoke to me yesterday. I can't give you all the full details, but I mean, I said, this is the situation I felt I needed to call you. This decision, I'm thinking, I'm in a dilemma. This, what do I do, blah, blah, blah. And I said, you've said what to do. You have said repeatedly, I'm convinced God is in this matter. When I started to make this move, I'm convinced. I said, you've said it repeatedly. I said, so there's no choice. You go with it. But at this point also, that also means that she needs to travel. And she's very pregnant. So she also said, I don't even have anybody. I don't have doctor. I don't have this. I said, listen, Hebrews 11. That's why I'm telling you this story. Hebrews 11 verse 11. He said, by faith, Sarah received strength to conceive seed. I said, I don't care how pregnant you are. That's what you look at. And say, Sarah has told me that I can do this and I'll be all right. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's how we apply this word. This is how we apply it. This is how we leave it out. Sarah has said that God can sustain you like that. Even if your body was ordinarily old and tired, Sarah has said that God is able to supernaturally strengthen your body. I said, therefore, you'll be fine. Are you hearing me? So every time you look in there, I'm making this move. I'm afraid. Look at Abraham in Hebrews 11. Look at David, Hebrews 11. Look at all of those people that it mentions there. They have all proven it in different areas of life. And what they are saying is that we have shown you it works. Now, it's not telling us in Hebrews chapter 12 that you go ahead now and prove it. However, in order for you to get it right, you will have to overcome the vices in your life. Or the vices that will try to strap themselves on you. So I read you other versions of that. The ERV version says, we have all these great people around us as examples. Their lives tell us what faith means. So we too should run the race that is before us and never quit. We should remove our lives from anything that will slow us down and the sin that so often makes us fall. Are you there? Did you hear me? So there are two things, two categories. He talks about what? Sin and weight. So there are some things that are not clearly sin, but they seem to just weigh you down. They seem to just make it difficult to walk by faith. They seem to disturb your conscience. Even though you cannot find in the Bible, thou shall or thou shall not. Are you there? I said, are you there? I was going to end there actually, but we'll start there since I'm mentioning it now. So there are some things that are sin. It's written black and white. You can't Greek it out, you can't Hebrew it out. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You can only accept what the Bible says about it. But there are some things that are not. They seem a little gray to you. You are still wondering, okay, hey, but you know it disturbs your faith. Even when you want to pray, it makes you feel somehow about it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Go there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Are you here? How many people know the kind of things? Okay. The kind of things that just seem to pop up. And they seem to just reduce your efficiency, your confidence. 1 John chapter 3 verse 21 says, if our heart... Verse 20, 21, thereabout, it says, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. So there are some things that just rob you of that confidence before God, even though you can argue your way out of them. So in overcoming vices, let me also begin to say this. In overcoming vices, by the help of God, I'm hoping we'll discuss some things, some real challenges. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let me pinch your neighbor. Say, I think he's talking to you this morning. You see, when you are looking too down and too keenly, they will think it's you I'm talking about. Are you with me? But when you look up and you are smiling, they won't know it's you. Are you with me? So we talk about all of those things. People are faced with sexual temptation. Let's be real. Are you hearing me? There's pornography epidemic. We'll talk about those things. We'll talk about alcohol. All this issue of is not you can take a little alcohol for your stomach's sake. Somebody said that to me once. I said, take a little for your stomach's sake. I said, may God give you stomach illness first. So you'll have reason to be taking it to treat it. Abi? Because it means it was being prescribed as a drug. So may you have a problem. Somebody also told me, you know, they use Indian hemp medicinally. I said, yes, I know. But may you have the kind of pain that requires Indian hemp to knock it off. Abi? I said, look, there's nothing you are saying that is new. Medical science has done it for ages and, in fact, has used it before they stopped using it. And there's a reason why they stopped using it that way. And said, we need to be careful with this thing because it comes with many other evils. Are you there? I've mentioned a few things. Maybe there are more things. You can tell me after. I say, I want you in this skinny. I want you to talk about this one too. You understand? I'm open to that. I want to hear you. There are things you want to discuss. Say it. I say, I want you to discuss this one as well. In this series, I will discuss them. Are you hearing me, somebody? I mean, somebody once asked me, and I like it. I like when people are real. Somebody once asked me, I said, what do you think about sex toys? After I'm not committing anything, we will talk about it. Abby? Because we act like we don't know. But people are faced with those things, and those are the things called vices. The Bible says now, those are the vices that hold people down. They are sins, they are weights, and they easily, did you note those words? He said that so easily ensnares us or entraps us. There are things that it looks like they just have a way of strapping onto you. Did you know, for instance, tobacco is one of the most addictive things you can ever try in your life? It's tobacco. Oh God, maybe I'm going ahead of myself, but are you getting something? I have a saying that I've always used, and I tell people that there's a time when the hunter becomes the haunted. I think most times I've used it when I'm talking about a playboy. Okay, when a guy is a playboy, you know, I'm Bobo in town. That one I get her. Well done. One day, they will get you. You will think you are the one getting, but the person is the one getting you. The person was waiting for you. It was a trap. And then you are now in trouble. You are like a puppet on strings. Are you hearing me? You are going quiet, oh. Yeah, you are going quiet. Oh. Have you ever seen such people before? Eh? Oh my God, Holy Spirit. you know what song I was remembering? Eh? That was a song, somebody, one I Life song. So sometimes I joke. I mean, Dickon knows I play a lot in the office, but sometimes I'm throwing some things out at people when I'm playing with you. So I was remembering one song. You know, a very nice song. I think it's very educative. Nice high life. He says, "Ohun ti mo fe je ni ko je ki ngbo. Emi loruko ko fa mi ni rogbo." Eh? It's a joking song, and what the guy was singing about was when an old man is doing playboy all over town, he's carrying all these small, small girls. So he was singing and saying, "Look, it's because my lust is has disturbed my smartness. My brain has become dull." He said, "So you call me by my name as the girl, you know. When you see a girl calling somebody her father's age or grandfather's age, Jide, 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 darling, Jide, kill on share now." And Jide is just smiling there and he's pulling Jide's hair. He said, "It's because I've lost my head. My brain is gone." That's what I mean by when the hunter becomes the hunted. He's not in charge anymore. Do you get what I'm saying? And it happens with many things. Is it okay for us to talk about these things in church? Yes, eh? Is it allowed? Okay, next G, is it allowed? Yes. But that's what's happening all over. Are you with me? I went to eat when I was in university one day, and the guy, was he behind me or in front of me, was talking to his friend. He was talking about his addiction to cigarettes. He said, you know, and his guy, we're doing yours. Guy. We're doing guy when we started this thing. Now I can't stop. I'm trying, I can't stop. I never forgot that conversation. I mean, he just thought he was feeling cool at the time. He said, "Now, I am not the one feeling cool and taking the cigarette is taking me." You understand? So there are many things people are doing now. Young people are doing now. Somebody you think, okay, why are you saying this to children? I'm saying it because they are here. Are you hearing me? Parents, say, it's good for them to hear, because what they are exposed to, you don't know. And if, okay, imagine yourself even when you were young and the things that you knew and you did that your parents didn't know. Are we? I was with some of my old schoolmates, and one of them was saying, he said, you know, that he told us a story the last time we met. He told us a story, unbelievable story. I laughed. At the same time, I was thinking, wow, what young people. And the guy said, you know, because of some of the things that he did, he and a very close friend of his who's now dead, he said, because of the very, I mean, both of them are saved now, he said, because of the things he did, he said he prayed to God. He said, "God, don't give me sons." He said, "Because even my son, I will persecute him." He said, "Because if he sits down alone and he's just sitting down thinking like this," I said, "I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. I know. He said, "Because I know the things that I did, that the way I will so persecute the boy, I'll make his life miserable." He said, "So I just say, God, I don't want sons. I don't want sons." He said, that is his other very close friend. He said, "That one said, I don't mind sons." He said, and honestly, God answered that prayer accordingly. That other one had two boys. He had two daughters. He said, "God heard me perfectly, because I couldn't imagine that as a parent, I'd be looking at the boy." Are you with me? So these things that people start off, you know, I'm just going to try it. I'm just going to play around with it. Just a little alcohol there. Somebody say, why are you talking about it? Because I've been through it. Okay? And everybody's vices are different. Okay? It's not everything that some people are very, you know, very much in trouble. They're in everything. Okay? But for most people, they are fine except one thing. Are you hearing me? Except for one thing. But what I'm also saying to you this morning is that we can overcome everything. You don't even have to have the one thing. Where we used to stay, you know, because my wife traveled and has always traveled. Well, I travel a lot. And she said, hey, but you travel. I said, no, there's a difference between us. I said, because my own travel is usually 2 weeks at most. In fact, before this year, I don't remember when last I went anywhere for 2 weeks. Okay, maybe 2016 in the U.S. But I said, rarely do I spend a week. Anyway, I said, so my own is like somebody went to work in Abeokuta and came home after a few days. I said, that's the difference. But your own is months. Not, I said, that's the difference between us. So anyway, where we were staying, at the Christmas, there was a Christmas that we decided, let's all get out in the compound and, you know, one evening and just eat and all that. So the landlord was sitting there with us. And he said, you know, Odubanjo, I've been watching you. He said, I've been watching you. And I couldn't see anything. So, I mean, the person who decided to host us among the, you know, the residents in the compound brought out everything from nice classy wine to beer to origin to, you know. Or some of you would take that one and say, yeah, it's not bad. It's not that bad, you know. Shmanov. It's just Shmanov eyes. Huh? Shmanov eyes. Well, what is inside it? That's what we're talking about. Huh? You know? So, no matter how nice the name sounds, which spirit? You know what they call alcohol spirit? Because it opened the door for spirits. That's not in the Bible. But, but it tends to open you up to spirits. Okay? So no matter how nice the name is, it probably contains something. And you have to quickly start learning to live the Bible way to overcome all of these things. That's the main reason. I'm just introducing you. Are you with me? That's the main reason. Pause story on the dinner. Just while saying that, I remember also one of my neighbors now, you know, was doing something and usually they would send food packs and things around. And sent, you know, gave me a food pack and put in drinks in there. I think it was Origin. You know, put in drinks there. They have a non-alcoholic one, which I'd taken in my sister's house some years before. So I just took it, you know, and I just went. I sat in the house. I was eating and I was drinking the thing. So my daughter stood. And she was looking at me and grinning. I said, what is it? Said, Daddy, you are drinking that? I said, yeah. Yeah, I'm drinking it. The neighbor gave me, I'm drinking it. He said, when did you start drinking alcohol? I said, alcohol, okay. No, it's not alcoholic. She said, Daddy, it is alcoholic. I said, no, it's not. She said, Daddy. So I picked the thing up and I looked at it and I saw, there's alcohol there. I said, oh my God. I just went and I poured the thing away. So I said, no, I'm sorry. There's a version of it that is not alcoholic. That's what I'm used to. I said, and in all honesty, there was no reason under the sun why I would believe that any of my neighbors will hand me anything with alcohol. I said, so I took it with that confidence. I didn't look at it. I didn't bother. I was too sure that nobody. It's about how you live. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's about how you live. One of them also had a birthday recently. When I walked in at night, and all that, were people there and all that. Welcome, please, this. They had these cocktail drinks around. And the first brought one, I was still looking at it. One said, no, that's not for you. I will bring you your own. It's non-alcoholic. So I knew that they should know the standards. Are you getting what I'm saying? You should have your standards as a believer. And let me tell you this truth. There's nothing you are missing. Huh? There's nothing you are missing if you are not involved in any of those vices you see around you, you are not missing anything other than trouble. I'm not structured though this morning. I have notes, but I'm not very structured. But are you there? Okay, so back to the other one, Abby. So we're having dinner. I'm going to wrap up now, and then we'll take the communion. We're having dinner, and the man then began to talk to me, and he said, "You know, I've been observing you." He said, "And I've looked. I can't see any vices. No alcohol, no women. No, you don't smoke, because when they put all the wine and everything there, I took my juice." And they, "You want to take this one? Won't you take this one? It's very nice." I'm not taking anything. So the man said, "So you don't take alcohol?" I said, "No." He said, "Not at all." I said, "No. I'm a teetotaler." You know teetotaler? Well, a teetotaler in, what do you call it? In English parlance, is somebody who doesn't take a drop of alcohol. So some people are social drinkers, as they call it, meaning that I don't really drink it. But if we're at a party, they say, "Let us toast." You know, they say, "Let us toast, okay. A little wine." Then they put it in your cup. "Cheers, cheers, cheers." Then you drink and all of that. And I said, "No, I'm a teetotaler." So that's what started that conversation. And the man said, "Really?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I've been watching you. I've not seen anything. I don't see women. I don't see..." I said, "Nothing like that, sir." He said, "That is very impressive." Then he told me about his life. And he said, "You know, when I was young, I had a lot of money. Every weekend, I'm in London, I'm in this, I'm in that." He said, "And women and this." And I thought to myself, he's paying the price. Okay? It's good that he's saying those things and he's able to tell somebody else and say, "It's good you are not like me. Or you are not living the way I lived." You understand? That is amazing. Many people don't tell others the truth. He told the truth. Many people encourage others to get into all the vices they are in because they feel trapped. But the more all of us are trapped in it, the better we feel. Abi, if we are all getting drunk together, if I'm the only one who is drunk, I'm doing like this. And for me, all of you will be laughing. Some of you will do video recording. Abi? But if all of us are doing like this, who is going to record who? You get what I'm saying? Hey, there's nothing. There's nothing to hide. There's nothing to... I mean, I can't feel bad about myself because as you point and say, "See the guy, see yourself." So there's nothing. So we will feel good together that we are both in trouble together. Are you with me? I mean, I sat sometime in... where were we? We were in... Was it Geneva? Was it France? But they're side by side. That's why I'm a bit confused. But we sat and we're having, you know, we went out for drinks. So I was with these friends and things. And they were talking. So again, they said to me, said, "When you are a..." So one of them, who is very, senior lady, said to me, said, "So you're a teetotaler?" I said, "Yes." Said, I ask a question. Said, "What do you see? You sit with us when we drink." I mean, I take, you know, soft drinks and all that. I said, "But you sit with us." Said, "I'm interested in seeing, in knowing what you see." Because they have a saying, they say, never drink with somebody who doesn't drink alcohol. They told me I didn't know. They told me, they said there's a saying that never drink with somebody who doesn't drink alcohol. Is what I just said before now that led me to this one now. Okay, why? They said, because all of you will tell all your secrets. He will know all your secrets and you won't know any of his. Because he is sober. All of you will be talking. And he will be hearing all your secrets. And because he's not drinking alcohol. So when they are there, it probably tells you the reason. If you go to a lounge or a bar, whatever you want to call it, they want to buy you drinks. Okay, so that you all misbehave together. And then they tell you what happens in whatever stays in. It will stay there because the secrets are mutual. You understand what I'm saying? So he said, "I want to know, what do you see?" So I smiled. I said, "Hey, it's interesting that I watch all of you get transformed. You just change, you know, with each bottle, with each cup, you change. And for me, it's interesting. The medicine, I still remember, they taught us that alcohol, you know, has a way I'd like to put it simply, it dulls the area of your brain. We call it the center for inhibition. That's what it's basically described as, for inhibition. Inhibition means that on a good day, there are many things you want to do, but something inhibits you. There's a rational side of you that says, don't do it. So if you are going on the road, now we finish service, and you feel pressed, okay? There's an option of just standing out here. Abi? And we win there. But why will you not we there? Yeah, because you say to yourself, no, it's public. Even if you're on the road, you are trying to get somewhere faster. Sometimes instead of just standing by the roadside. So there's the inhibition. Hey, okay. Are you getting anything? I'm saying because, I mean, there are many things that keep coming. Don't worry, we'll get into a lot of Bible also as we go along. Are you there? But we need to apply Bible to our lives. That's my point in overcoming vices. I worked with somebody before years ago, but got up in the middle of a ward in a hospital. In the middle of a hospital ward. Stood on the table and began to wee-wee. Shh. Doctor. You hear what I said? Doctor. Why? He was drunk. Okay, I was not on duty. By the time I came the next day, the story was going out. Are you hearing me? Now, what happened there? The inhibition, center for inhibition, was drowned by the drinks. So he did it on. Patients were there. I'm saying in the middle of the ward. So you see your doctor, we. Then the next day he says, oh, open your chair, let me examine you. He said, please, is there any other doctor on duty? I mean, So that's what I told Ali. I said, I watch you change. And, I mean, for the most part, all of those people, I didn't see them get to that drunken stupor state. Except one of them, I've seen him do that twice. But thankfully, he seems to have beat that now. You know, but I told him, I said, I watch you change. Because I was just watching it like a research, like experiment. Like, this is what they told me in school. You know, and I see how they start saying things that they were not saying 1 hour ago. You know, not just secrets. Sometimes they become more vulgar. Sometimes they become more rough, you know, what they are saying, the way they talk. And I'm just watching as it goes steadily. So when we look at a few scriptures about alcohol, and we will see in black and white where it says don't, you see that the Bible knew what it was saying and why it's saying so. That if you do it, it's like walking. Have you ever gone to a poolside before? You know, gone to a poolside anywhere in a hotel, and people have been swimming in the place, and that poolside was, I mean, you're not in the pool, just by the poolside, and it was all wet. Anybody, and you felt like you needed to move away from the actual side of the place because it was slippery. Why? Because you could fall inside and you didn't come to swim. Abi? So very often what people do is that they hang around the poolside, the slippery poolside. They keep playing around the slippery poolside for as long as they can until one day they're inside the pool.
It's the devil.
The Bible didn't say so. It says, if any man sins, he's drawn away by his own lust. James chapter 1. We're going to read all those next time. Are you with me? What was it? Uncontrolled desire. You kept hanging around it. Kept hanging around it. Taste a little bit. Why do you people even like this one? Taste it and see. Let me just try it and see. This one is new. They just bought it. Does it taste better? I mean, I don't really take alcohol, but I like red wine. Just after my meal. It's just the beginning of it. One day you'll be drinking a red wine bottle by yourself, from top to bottom. Are you there? We've been there. Okay? Some of it we have seen. Some of it we have done. Are you hearing me? That's the truth of the matter. And I tell people, listen, we thank God for things like, say, alcohol and tobacco. Thank God for that, that I never had issues with those ones. And I tell people, that precedes Bible. See, but that's where I will stop, stop. I'll put final stop now, babe. Stop, stop. So bring the communion things. Okay? And that one, somebody, you know, in those days, parents would mix Guinness and stout and Coke. And you watch them, they just drink in their house, just one bottle they share. And that was all. And sometimes you even tasted it. And because they had Coke, it was sweet. You know? So I thought, let me try this thing. Let me try this thing. So I took the actual beer itself, no Coke. I took a beer. Sorry, I'm remembering too many things. We used to have what? Green sand sandy. You remember that one? It's in the category of all these new fancy beer that people say is not really alcoholic like that. It's not really alcoholic like that, you know. But it has more alcohol inside. One day we were in Ijebu, we gave one small boy. We loaded him with a few of Vincent Sanjo. Then you know that it is still alcohol. 0.something percent is still alcohol. Are you with me? So anyway, I took the bottle, I tried the beer, and I thought, bitter. Bitter. I said, ah. Then I looked at it, it was, I don't know, maybe 90 naira or something like that. You know, I said, ah. It's like 3-4 times the cost of the sweet soft drink. I said, God forbid. So I paid 4 times more to drink this bitter thing like agbo. So you ask yourself, why does anybody take it? Why does anybody take it? There's something in it. It is the drug. Oh, that beer is very nice. I like it. But no, it's the drug. Easy truck. It's not the beer. Are you hearing me? Hey, on a good day, nobody takes bitter stuff. You run from a good, the same you that you say, blah, blah, blah. You run. When they say, drink this one, your body will be strong. The fever will leave. So easy truck makes you finish 6 bottles. There's a spirit. Are you there? Don't worry, if you need to repent, repent smiling. Okay, and just say, oh yeah, Jesus, I'm sorry. I will deal with this thing. Amen. That's the intention. Amen. Somebody also walked past our house and threw away, you know, cigarette when it's almost done and threw it away. So I ran in the corner and I picked it up. So, can't taste anything. I said, so this is like taking your money, rolling it, and burning it. I say, God forbid. That's how I never went there. We played later, you know, with purple leaves, right? Purple leaves in blah, blah, but it was just play. But I told myself, this thing doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. There's no taste. What am I? Are you there? So it means that there's something beyond it. So if you don't believe in the spiritual, just what I just described, where I'm ending it now, should tell you that there is a spiritual world. Why does somebody take something that has no taste until he gets addicted to it? Are you hearing me? Why does somebody drink something that is so bitter until he's addicted to it? There must be spirit. There must be a devil out there somewhere. Hallelujah. Let's stand on our feet. Okay, I asked you to open scripture. So we open that one more scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter. So I said again, for many things, people are wondering. You know, people wonder. And this one is not there now. But I say, thou shalt not smoke. But it keeps disturbing your conscience. I'm just using that as one example. Okay, it keeps disturbing your conscience. What 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22 tells us is what? The New King James says, abstain from every form of evil. I was saying on Thursday that sometimes I feel like going back to my old King James. The old King James says, abstain from every appearance of evil. Can I hear you say appearance of evil? Appearance means it just looks like it. I'm not sure. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe it's okay. Maybe it's not okay. I'm not very sure. I have not really seen the scripture for it. I'm feeling somehow about it, but I can't see it in the scripture. The Bible says, flee. That translation uses the word flee. The word flee means run, as in terror. Run, like your life is in danger. Flee! Anything that you are not sure of, run. Your life is in danger. That's what it's telling you. I'm not sure it's good. I'm not sure it's bad. I'm not sure. Listen, if it's good, it will be good. And you'll be sure. The reason why you are not sure is because it's probably bad. Run for your life. Are you still with me? I say, are you there? Oh, this music. I'm not sure. Run. That's how people get in trouble. Flee every appearance of evil. Flee every appearance of evil. There's a real God. There's a real devil. Take a moment and just talk to God this morning. I need to stop them. All things come in my mind, but I'll stop. And we'll just trust God that there'll be a lot flow. And like I said, I welcome people coming to say, look, can we discuss this? Can we discuss that? And we'll discuss all of those things by the grace of God. Because at the end of the day, and when I do a more structured teaching, maybe, this is how men are brought low. This is how lives are completely destroyed. This is how destinies are wiped out. That's the strategy. That's what the devil does. This is how he does it. So when you overcome the vices, the Bible says you'll be able to run that race steadily, at the right speed, the right pace. You'll be able to run your race. You'll be able to run your race. Okay, evil or immoral habits or practices, and they all can be overcome. they all can be overcome. We're taking the communion this morning in recognition of the fact that Jesus died for us, and that in his dying we died with him. In his rising, we rose with him. In line with some of the things that I've been saying today, this is chapter 10. I wanted to read you some things. Romans chapter 6 would be a good place to read. Okay, Romans chapter 6 would be a good place to read. Because at the end of the day, when I said everything can be overcome, that is the basis of it. That now that you are in Christ, you have the power within you to say no to anything and everything. You have the power within you to say no to anything. And say, this one is enough. By the grace of God, I'm not going to be subject to this anymore. So I'll read you a few scriptures here quickly. Romans chapter 6 verse 6 says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. So our old man was crucified with Jesus, that the body of sin might be done away with, so that we should no longer be slaves of sin. You are a slave of something when the thing really controls you. But it says that now it doesn't control us. We may allow ourselves to be taken in it, but first and foremost, perish the idea that there is something that you cannot overcome. It's not true. Verse 11 says, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. So you have to start thinking that way. No matter what it is you are dealing with or battling with, you must start thinking to yourself that I'm dead to sin. Oh, by just committing sin, I'm dead to sin. By the grace of God, by what Jesus did, I know that I'm dead to sin. You need to start aligning with the scriptures. That's what it means when he says, Romans 6:11, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Hallelujah. So as we take the communion, we believe God that this is a reality in our lives. Sin shall not have dominion over us. Sin shall not have dominion over us. Sin shall not have dominion over us. Sickness also shall not have dominion over us. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. As we take these elements of the communion, we are reminded of a covenant. That covenant that not only brings us into peace with you, but gives us power over sin, gives us victory over sickness, gives us deliverance from that which holds us bound in any form, in the name of Jesus. So as we take it this morning, let that be the reality for every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, in the name of Jesus. And those who are online, you can also take the elements of communion wherever you are. Take a piece of bread, take a drink or whatever, so just a small amount of it, and just do the same. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for experiences of miracles, deliverances, in the name of Jesus.
Touch me.